Turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 9 this morning. God speaks to us through His Word by His Spirit. May we have ears to hear. We saw last week, we learned that there will be consequences when we don't repent, when we continue to go against the Lord rather than follow His lead and follow Him. And we'll see this morning that Esau continues to just show what it is to not listen. And to not repent. Not real repentance. Although he tries to offer up a fake repentance. That's what we'll see this morning as an example of what not to be like. Genesis 28 verses 6 through 9. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him he gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Let us hear God's word, take it to heart, and to do it, and to love it. When you're wrong, can you admit you're wrong? When you know you need to change, will you? Or do you run? There's two main ways you can run. On the outside, you can be visibly running, leaving, running away from God. There's another way you can run. You can stay put, go along with the flow, and turn into yourself. And hide in the recesses of your heart. And not really be willing to admit you're wrong or to change, really. Because any outward change will really first happen within. But for the sons of Abraham, and I address you as the sons of Abraham, your only option is godly sorrow and real repentance. That's your only option. If you're a Jacob and not an Esau, if you will not give yourself to godly sorrow and real repentance on the inside, your soul will always be an unsettled storm. And that storm will catch up to you. When he hears Jacob obeying his parents as a covenant son, Esau, in response, again proves that he's rebellious, proves that he is reprobate by faking repentance. There are many in the church who will fake repentance. That's what we see Esau doing. He seeks to have peace, he wants the blessing, but he'll never have it. He'll never have it. Because peace and rest only come with a true turnaround. And remember, we learned from our standards, our catechisms, that real repentance is a disposition. It is your heart. It is an endeavoring after new obedience. And if it doesn't start in the heart, it just won't happen. But you might try to fake it. And faking repentance will never do you any good. It won't honor God. It won't do you any good. You'll never have rest. You'll never have peace. You can fake it, but you won't have it. Not if you act like Esau. You want to be like Jacob, and particularly Abraham and Isaac. You want to rest, and if you want to rest, rest comes with godly repentance. You will not have rest any other way in your souls. You won't come here to worship and really be here. You won't go out and live for the Lord and really be there. and you won't really love your brethren if you don't have godly repentance. You'll only be able to rest in godly repentance. Don't let jealous rage blind you. Don't let jealous rage misguide you. Verses 6 and 7. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan," and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. Here's how you need to understand how Esau is taking this in. We'll know it from the verses that come. We'll see it from the verses that came before. He's seeing it like this. He's watching jealously. He's bitter. He's bearing a grudge. He's angry. And he won't deal with himself because he set this whole thing up. Esau sees Jacob's obedience with blind resentment. He is jealous of his brother's blessing. This is the way he always is. Look back again to chapter 27, verse 41. This is Esau. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob." You see, this is Esau. This is what he does. He sees everything as everyone else is against him. It's never him that needs to change. Everyone's against him all the time. It's always him. It's never him. And it led to plotting murder. And here today, once again, he's just watching Jacob and he hates him. He's just never repented of his own foolishness to despise his own birthright. Blames his brother for it when he bought it fair and outright. Constantly bitter. Constantly blaming everyone else, unwilling to look at himself. This is how Esau acts. He blames his brother for his own foolishness. Remember in verse 36... he sold his birthright. Or rather, in verse 36, he's blaming Jacob. He's blaming Jacob for what he's losing. But back in 25, verse 34, we see that he sold it to him. And he doesn't want to deal with that. So he watches now as his brother is sent away with a blessing to go get a wife from where he should have gotten a wife. You see, everything he does is wrong, but he doesn't want to deal with it. And so he's angry. And he can only see the wrong thing as he's watching. Because he won't look at himself. You see, stubborn anger blinds reason. Stubborn unrepentance blinds reason with a smokescreen of paranoia. And if you find yourself in that situation, everyone's against you all the time, then you need to open the windows. And you need to open the door that the Holy Spirit would breathe new life in to that toxic environment of dead air in your heart. Esau just wouldn't do it. Esau hates. He chooses to hate. He chooses again and again to hate and never look at himself. His hateful jealousy sees only red. His hateful jealousy sees only rejection of him when that's not what's happening. He gets to stay. His brother is being sent away into great danger. He's the one favored by his father still. He's the one that gets to stay. It's his fault. His brother has to go out into danger. And yet he continues to hate. Continues to recognize he can only look at how he must be being despised here. You'll see in a moment. He envies his parents' favor. But he wants it for the wrong reasons. and he tries to get it in the wrong way. Don't be like him. Own your mistakes. Don't try to cover them up with worldly penance. Look at verse 8. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. And we know earlier from the text that his mother is all up in arms and very grieved about his wives that he took. So Esau looks and sees how displeased his parents are that he made yet another foolish decision and picked wives of the land of Canaan. Because that's just what Esau's do. But here's also what Esau does. He recognizes his parents' disapproval, and he recklessly tries to make it better by marrying another wrong wife. Maybe he could have decided, okay, I'm going to get right with God. Maybe he could have said, okay, I'm going to teach my wives the way of the Lord and raise my children in the way of the Lord. Instead, no, he's just upset. Oh, Mom and Dad don't like what I did, so I'm going to go get somebody else. Verse 9. Then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael. Who's Ishmael? Ishmael is the son of the curse. Ishmael is the son of the bondwoman. Ishmael has been sent away. Not the place to get a covenant child, a covenant wife. Esau doesn't make it any better. He just makes more of a mess. You see, he doesn't really repent. Real repentance would be a different habit. He does the same thing. He tries to make it right with something that looks maybe better, but isn't better. It's just as wrong. A daughter of Ishmael. Yeah, that makes it all better, Esau. Now you have three wives. And you still don't have one wife where you're supposed to have them from. But he's hoping that this little fake show of things is going to get rid him of the displeasure of his parents. That's all he cares about. He doesn't care about pleasing them. If he did, he would have done the right thing in the first place. He fakes it again. Just like people fake crying. We all know what that looks like. Oh, there are people who can just cry on a dime when it suits their needs. We've seen that. You've all seen that. You get to know a person and you watch what they do. They cry when it suits them, and as soon as they get what suits them, they stop. And there's no real change. They can turn on and off the faucet whenever they please, and they're really good. Oh, those tears can come out. But what you learn to recognize is they're just trying to distract you from the fact that they don't want to change. And they hope that their blubbering will distract you because people try to get rescued by crying. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't a place for crying. And with true repentance, also tears do accompany that. But you know what it is. There are people who can fake it and do fake it. But when you look closely, the sink is stained. Like Esau. He fakes it. He's always got a fake repentance. Oh, he's got plenty of tears and blubbering going on, but he's faking it. Turn back to chapter 27, verse 34. Look at this fake repentance. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee? Oh, pardon me, I want to look at verse 34 first. Verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And you can bet he had all kinds of tears streaming down his face. His face was red. But it's fake. Look down to verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, oh, my father! And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Notice, he just wants some blessing, any blessing. Give me something. He doesn't care that he's lost the blessing he despised. Chapter before. It's fake. He's just reacting. He doesn't change. He just reacts. And that's what you notice with the reprobate. That's what you notice with the ungodly. They won't deal with themselves. And they react. And they try to distract themselves even from reality. And you learn to recognize it after time. They'll never deal with the actual thing you just asked them about. The closest they'll come is to cry so that you can move over here. He tries to pass off a lesser evil for the truly good. And that's what the truly unrepentant do. They try to pass off a lesser evil as if it's truly good. They're willing to settle with what's not good as long as it might look good. If they can pass it off as good, that's all they care about. They don't want to go through the difficult thing of true repentance. But you see, they don't actually have any peace because of that. Hebrews 12. Turn there with me. Notice where Esau finds himself, or notice where we find Esau listed. It's not in chapter 11. Chapter 11 being the example of those who have faith. The example of those who repent and change. Esau's listed in chapter 12, and he's listed in chapter 12 in the context of discipline. Saying, don't not finish the race. Don't abandon Christ and his people. And he gives Esau as the example. We were there a few weeks ago in this text. He's given as the example of not having faith, not having repentance. Look at verses 14 to 17, giving special attention to verse 17. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He didn't have real repentance. He didn't have a place for real repentance in his heart, though he cried his eyes out. Notice he didn't ever have peace. This is what we call ungodly sorrow, or the sorrow of the world. It is the example to you today to contrast with that of God's people. Paul has something to say about that as well. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. There are two kinds of repentance. The way of the world that leads you to hell, and the way of the righteous that leads you to heaven. Only those two kinds. Only one gives peace in this world. For you and I know those who fake repentance, you see, they just never have peace. They can't sit still. Can't stay in church. Can't do the right thing. Basic things. They don't have peace. But there is a place to have peace if you have true repentance. Chapter 7, verses 8 through 10 of 2 Corinthians. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it was but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to from Ishmael. It's just a sign that he isn't really sorry. He isn't concerned about pleasing his parents. He just doesn't want to be judged. And so he tries to fake that he's changed. And he hasn't changed. And he's just made it worse. And so he has no rest. But let me ask you, check yourself by Esau's actions. Look at your heart and look at your outward actions. And ask yourself, do they compare at all to Esau? Do they look like worldly sorrow? Or is there godly sorrow? When you don't like something you've heard from a sermon, is your immediate response to have, as we've heard, roasted pastor and apply nothing to yourselves? Ask yourself, does that look like a child of God? Ask yourself if you've looked at your heart as well. Ask yourself if you've changed anything yourself. Or do you look like Esau? Ask yourself. Look in the mirror of God's word. Or will you be so bitter? And will you be so angry that you will refuse to look at yourself? You'll have no rest. And there's a place for rest, beloved. It's not to act like Esau. There's a place for peace that you'll never have if you won't look at yourself, if you won't deal with yourself. Men, if you won't deal with your families. There won't be peace, the kind of peace we could have, if we would have godly sorrow and true repentance. You can fake it. You can fake it. But you won't have peace. You see, real repentance seeks not to distract and point blame elsewhere. Real repentance seeks not to cover up from displeasure. Real repentance seeks to open up and be renewed and have peace renewed with the Lord and with one another. Fake repentance shows nothing different. Fake repentance continues to look exactly the same. And there is no peace to be had in that life. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Isaiah 57, verses 20 to 21. There's no rest for the wicked, he says. There's no peace for the wicked. Because Esau's will not be broken. They will not stop their wild running. They will not be told what to do. Their rebellious hearts will not be pierced with righteous remorse. However, you who are Jacob's, it will be, and it must be a different story. Jacob's, let me ask you, what must you give up to the Lord right now? It starts with your heart. You don't have to go home and think about it or do something. Distract yourself with fake repentance. What do you need to give up to the Lord right now? That's where the peace will come. Do you find yourself scurrying about throughout the week, tired, distressed, frustrated? You need to repent. You need to repent of your sins. You need to change. That's where you will have peace. That's only where you will have peace. What do you need to lay down at the feet of your Lord Jesus Christ today? Or will you focus on others? Stop fighting God. Stop running away from God. You will have no real, no lasting peace mentally or physically until you are sorry. And until you do something about that. But when real change begins, when real change begins in your hearts, you can rest. You'll have a peace you don't know when you won't. You can rest. You'll find yourself resting in worship on the Lord's Day in a way you don't when you won't repent. You will. If you are not at peace, if you do not have rest, repent. The problem is you. Change. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. And when you do, you will rest in repentance. Let us pray. O Lord in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Help us, O Lord, to wholeheartedly pray to you at this very moment. And change us from within. May we not be like Esau. Here is your example of what not to do. Give us real repentance, Lord. Repentance unto life, and not repentance unto death and a deathly existence. Thank you for the grace of repentance unto life by the Holy Spirit within us. Turn our eyes to the cross to remind us that you died for our sins, each of us. You give us the way of repentance, your own blood to pay for our sins. Make us more right with you, Lord, by dealing with ourselves. Make us more right with you, Lord, by being sober and awake as you speak. Make us more right with you, Lord, by turning away from the old and turning ahead to the new. Help us, Lord, not to fake it, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That we would be holy and more holy and more holy. That we would be a bright light to the world around us. We pray this in the name of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.